Today, this scripture comes from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Alex.
No problem.
All right. So we started off with a hymn sing where you guys got to pick things, and we're going to do a similar thing with the message today. Now, it is the last Sunday of 2017, and the nerd in me really got rocking this week because did you know that January 1st was on a Sunday? That in a non-leap year, December 31st is on a Sunday? How many people knew that? A few. So there are 53 Sundays in this year. And what's really cool about it is I got to open the year. This was my appointment, and January 1st was my first official day. So personally, to get to open the year and close the year is really cool. Now, this does happen again, by the way, and it's happened before. In 2006, and then again in 2023, we'll get to do this again. And in a leap year, it occurs as well, but that won't occur again until 2040. So you have that to look forward to. So it's been a memorable year for a lot of us, and for some of us, more than others. Now, the scripture that Alex read this morning, many of you are familiar with it, probably because if you listen to music at all, you heard a version which this was set to music, and the most popular one was by the Byrds. It actually hit number one, and you may remember it. It's called Turn, Turn, Turn. Anyone? Oh, look at, see, and all right, how many of you filled out your connection cards? Okay, about the same number of hands. That's good. We're getting there. But you remember it starts off, to everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, 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 and a time for every purpose under heaven. I have a cold, so that didn't come out well. Now, it's interesting because when we listen to that song, we automatically assume that it's the scripture that was just heard. But because it's music and things don't always work in the order they plan and it doesn't cycle the right way, they actually don't use all the verses. They leave a couple out. Now, I'm not going to ask you to guess because I had to look it up to figure it out. But as I went through and matched them up, in the song, it didn't include a time to keep and a time to throw away. And it also, and this one's sort of fascinating, it did not include a time to be silent and a time to speak. So those were two that got missed. Now, there was one that they actually repeated twice. And if you go back and look at the lyrics, you'll see it's a time of love and a time of hate. And they use that twice. So for the song and for us, that's a pretty dramatic item to have listed twice. So now when we look back over 2017, because by the way, it's New Year's Eve. So this is the last day that you get to do anything and call it 2017. And if you're a really big nerd, you know that this is the only day that every person born in the 1900s is an adult, and every person born in the 2000s is a minor. Ooh. It's a calendar. I don't know. That's how it works. And tomorrow I can say the same thing just using that date. So it's just one of those things that we only get this at the millennium, right? So that's why it makes it such a big deal. But when we look back and we look at that list of things, you can see their contrasts, their opposites a little bit. And as we look at it, it says there's a time for everything under heaven. Now, when we look at everything, you know, why is that? You know, how can it possibly be that there's this plan? And there are those who believe that everything happens, fill in the blank, for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. I gave up saying that a long time ago. I just came up with everything happens because it does. But I will tell you, it actually doesn't happen for a reason sometimes. Sometimes we can't figure out why it happens. It also does not happen because God wills it. God doesn't point a finger and say, you're going to get cold, Bob, this week. You know, doesn't point at anyone and say, this is going to happen to you, good, bad, or indifferent. God guides, but God doesn't will that we suffer tragedies. And it doesn't happen because we're all sinners, because there's nothing we can do about that. We are sinners, although we can do something about it. I'll take that back. There is something we can do about being sinners, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And it's not because of what our parents did, or our grandparents, or someone 500 years ago in our lineage. It's not as a punishment. It's not as a reward. They happen because we live here on earth. And that's the challenge we face with, is dealing with all those things that happen. Some of them are good in our view. Some of them are bad in our view. And some of them we can't even figure out what they mean. But as you look at the scripture today, you really need both items to appreciate what's going on. Now, there are 14 different pairs in this, okay? There's 14 different ones if you read the scripture. So 28 different experiences. Now, I will be honest, I preached the same scripture on January 1st, 2017, and I preached on the following four items in that list: a time to be born and a time to die, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. So those four were already preached on. So what I'm doing, much like the hymn sing, I don't know what I'm going to preach on yet. Because I have little pieces of paper in this basket, and I'm going to ask four of you to pull one out, and I will preach on the four that come out. Now, I will admit, I do have notes and a cheat sheet, so don't think I'm doing this blind or blank. Oh, here we go. Will you pick one out? Just one? Okay, that one? Thank you. Oh, you want to read it? All right, you read it. You tell me what it says, and I'll just repeat. You can keep it. Okay, you can keep that. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. This is an interesting one, and here's why. Cover your children's ears for a second. Scattering stones, in some ways, is a euphemism for sexual intercourse. So I'm not going to preach on that too long. It also is preparing a field for planting, and it's a time to gather stones as well. And as you look at those two opposites, as you're scattering stones in a, if you look at a field and go back to a farmer and they're plowing the field, before they can plant it, they have to get the stones out of the field. And so they call up my wife and say, Sue, I have some extra stones that we picked up, some rocks. Do you want them for your gardens? Because my wife gathers stones. That's what she does. She collects them because she enjoys the colors they make and the beauty it makes. But when we look at scattering stones, it's sending things out as well. You're not building a wall. You're tearing down a wall. You're taking those stones that have been used to block other people out. You're breaking those down and you're scattering them, spreading them. And you're letting people know that we will not be blocked. We will not be taken advantage of. We are going to spread what we have and let others know. And then gathering stones, it happens here every Sunday morning or when you're in a small group. You're coming together with other believers, and if we look at bringing those things together, and you can create amazing things with stones. I mean, I visited different places. There's a house right here on the way as you come into Brighton that's a stone house. And you can see what happens when you take a moment to gather stones. You can build amazing things. You can also build a wall. And when you gather those stones and build a wall, what is it you're building it for? Are you keeping things out? Or are you keeping them in? And how do you make that positive? So when you look at this pair, which one's the positive one? Most of them, we think we know the answer. A time to be born and a time to die. Born is cool. die, which we all go through, is difficult. That one seems easy to describe, which one's better and which one's worse. But how would you describe this one? The time to scatter stones, the time to gather them together. It's a challenge. But as we're out there gathering stones and preparing the field for planting, what are we doing to further God's kingdom? As we gather those stones and build something, are we building something that is going to advance God's word? Are we building something that's going to make a difference in other people's lives? And when we scatter those stones, are we scattering them with love? Or are we scattering with violence and throwing them? And as we look at these two, it's a bit of a challenge to figure out which direction we should be going in at any given point in time. And that's something I turn to you, and as you face it, and you're faced with a time where you're asked to, which direction will you go? All right, I got my basket here. Let's see, I did over there. Now I'm going to come over here, front row. You got your reading glasses on, right?
A time to love and a time to hate.
A time to love and a time to hate. Wow. Time to love and a time to hate. This one seems so easy, right? A time to love. We're told to love our neighbor. We're told to love our enemy. We're told to love ourselves. We're told to love the proper things. If you turn to Scripture in Romans 12:9, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And then in 1 John 4:20, it tells us, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. A time to love and a time to hate. It's always a time to love, isn't it? It's always an opportunity to show someone the love of Christ. During the season of Advent into Christmas and into the new year, love is everywhere. You hear it in songs. You see it in people's actions. You see it where the snow falls, and the next thing you know, your neighbor's driveway is cleared because you realize that their snowblower was broken, so you went out and did it. Or someone said, there's a need for, and you didn't even wait to hear the rest of the sentence. Your response was, how can I help? And that's out of love. It's out of connecting to others. It's out of understanding that we're expected to do as Christ did. Christ came to this world. Christ is love. And we're expected to reflect that. And so as we do that in our lives, as we step out in love and are showing others the difference that Christ makes in our life by making a difference in theirs, we're showing them love. And you're supposed to do this with your enemies. And this year, if you're a Facebook follower, there has been a lot of rhetoric back and forth on both directions. And at the end of January into February, Sherry and I and Loretta are going to talk about that. How do you deal with these types of conversations? How do you have disciplined, organized discussions in love? And how do you do that every day when the sides seem to be so polarized? So come back for that, because we'll provide some tools and it'll be scripturally based, so you get a chance to see what the Bible tells us about that as well. Now, the other side of this one is a little bit more challenging. How can there ever be a time to hate? I mean, based on scriptures and what we're told to love our neighbors as ourselves and to love God. So how can you possibly say there's a time to hate? Well, there can be. I mean, we're called to hate evil. And it sounds a little counterintuitive to say you're supposed to hate something because you're supposed to love your enemies, but we're called to hate evil. We're called to be against that which doesn't move forward God's kingdom. And there are times where that's difficult to say, that I really hate the behavior that I'm seeing, because it comes across as evil. It's not doing what God would intend us to do. Matthew 5:43-45a tells us this, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Time for love and a time for hate. This one seems very straightforward to me. We're called to love by Christ, who came into this world as love. And we're called to hate evil. And if we do that in our lives, God's kingdom is advanced. All right. Next. I haven't come over here. Somebody raise their hand. Who wants? No, not you, Alex. Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that to Alex. He's one of my buddies. Thank you, Tracy.
A time for war and a time for peace.
A time for war and a time for peace. See, this scripture is a bit of a challenge, isn't it? We don't know what it is it's calling us to do all the time. And what's fascinating is we don't even know if really who wrote it. And it hints, when you look at chapter 1, verse 1, it hints that it was Solomon, because it says David's son, king in Jerusalem. And when we translate it, it comes out as teacher or the preacher, leader of the congregation. Now, if you've read the whole book, if you haven't, I invite you to do that, because the theme, as you've seen, is anything but upbeat. Here's what its theme is throughout this book. Life is meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. Makes you want to rush right out and grab it, doesn't it? I've given you the encouragement you need. Because, see, this book is like Esther. The book of Esther doesn't mention God. God is mentioned nowhere in this book. And you can see just by reading these verses today, it has a very secular view. It has a view of the way humans look at things. And see, what we're told by John Mansfield Pryor is the way he looks at the time back then, life was simply experienced as futile in a world out of control. And that is a challenge for us. So as we look at these pairs, and we look at a time for war and a time for peace, and we keep in mind that futility is there and that we're called to deal with it, the question is that, and as you look at it, when is a good time for war? How do you even say that there is a time for war and a time for peace? Because we all strive for peace. That's what we want. I mean, how many people out there are out there with a goal of starting a war? No hands are going to go up. And so when we look at that, you can see why God is absent in these scriptures. When you look at a time for war, that's a human thing. Because the war was fought and the war was won. Christ came into this world as a baby, lived among us, grew, taught, loved, was sentenced to death, and rose again for our sins. It's a time for peace, because with Christ there is peace. And with Christ, a time for war no longer exists. These are human thoughts. These are human approaches. Although, are there times where we're supposed to go to war against those who promote evil? How do we decide? And as we turn to Christ, we're told to seek peace and to be love for one another. And the challenges we face every day, we have to ask ourselves, that did this scripture change when Christ came? Did it stop being just those options? Were new ones created? Were some crossed out? We're called to peace. We're called to love God, love our neighbor, and live in a season that includes the resurrected Christ. That's the season we're always in. And when the scripture says there's a time for every purpose under heaven, a time for every season, that's the season we're in, the season of the resurrected Christ. So 2017's done, right? Today's the last day. So how many of you will miss it? How many really love 2017? Okay, one, two, three. Wow. How many say good riddance? Okay. And how many say, oh, that's just another year? Okay, that's about, all right, so the last two are about even. And see, what's really cool is because we use calendars and we can watch this, we can't watch it, but the earth goes around the sun, we have our years go by, you get to start off with a clean slate. Now, if you read your paper, and you still get a newspaper because you're old, like me, because I am old and I'm old school, we'll call it old school, I read my newspapers, and so they have lots of year in reviews because it's so simple. They don't have to write a real paper. They can just tell you what already happened before and repeat it to you. So they've been building this up. This was written weeks ago because then that way they can take this week off like most of the world. So that's what we have. We have our year in review. And then the second thing that comes out is those opportunities for resolutions. And how many of you make New Year's resolutions? All right, I see a few out there. How many have ever kept a New Year's resolution if they ever made one? A few people have. I'm impressed. I cannot keep a resolution. I'm good for about 3 weeks and then life gets in the way again. So as we look at 2017 ending, and it looks like the majority are glad to see it go or really just don't care, 2018's coming up. So here's the question I have for you. What does God have in mind for you? Now, God may lay out a plan, but you actually have to act on it. What are you planning on doing in 2018? Now, there's some opportunities here at Brighton First United Methodist Church. There's some exciting things happening. We're in discussions with Wesley down in Whitmore Lake, the United Methodist Church there, to become a church in two locations and partner with them. That's exciting. Is it God's plan for us? We're figuring that out right now. So if you have interest in that, there's frequently asked questions on the table near the entrance way out there. Stop and see me, see Sherry, Pastor Sherry, see Deacon Loretta. We can answer your questions. But this is an exciting time, 2018 is. The other thing that's happening in 2018 is we're going to have different groups and classes that are going to be meeting. And those booklets will be coming out next week. Take some time and look at those, because to be in community and to be in conversation with others helps us answer these questions of which direction are we supposed to go in. So as we look at 2018, remember, we have to look at it from a God view, not from a world view. So as bad as we think it is, God's still in control. As much as we say, I don't like what's going on in my nation, God is still in control. As much as we say, I don't like what's going on in my household, God's still in control. Or you may be the exact opposite. You may say, this is great. Life's good. God's in control. We're here to serve and to love. All right, one last one. All right, Darren, I'm going to hand the basket down to you, and then you're just going to have to yell it out after you pick it out. Thank you. A time to plant and a time to uproot. Now is not a really good time to plant outside. I'll just give you some advice. Ground's a little bit tough to get through. But there is a time to plant coming up. We know that after the winter comes the spring. It's part of our cycle. And what's amazing about it is we always look at spring as that new beginnings, right? The buds start coming out on the trees. The grass starts to show again. Green is a color that we had forgotten because of all the white or the brown from the snow and the dirt that gets in the snow. But as those new beginnings come around, you don't have to wait till spring. You don't even have to wait till January 1st for new beginnings. New beginnings can happen every single day. And those plantings can be as simple as picking up your Bible in the morning and reading a scripture and planting something in your heart. It can be as simple as when you see someone in need, stopping and helping instead of saying, I've got to get to my appointment, I can't be late. It can be something where you realize you've had this burden you've been carrying. You need to shed it. You need to get rid of it. You need to move on beyond that. And that's when it's a time to uproot. It's time to pull out those things that you shouldn't be dealing with. Now, here's a simple thing you can do. I read about this, and this is a time to uproot. Your closets get full, right? So turn your hangers around. You can do this tomorrow. Turn all your hangers around so that they're facing the backwards way and they're really hard to get out then. And then in 6 months, after you've taken clothes out and rehung them up, after you've worn them, any of the ones that are still backwards, give them away. Because you're not wearing them anyways. Now, you do have to worry about, if you have seasonal items, okay, I'll give you that. You can wait till that season's over. So if you have summer clothes, don't get rid of all your summer clothes because Bob told you to. Wait till summer's over and then get rid of those clothes. So you got it? Turn the hangers backwards. When you wear it, put the hanger back in normal. Okay? That's so easy. Because you're going to uproot all those things that you don't need in that closet. Like, you don't need 7 Eddie Bauer red-related shirts. Trust me, you don't. I do, but no one else does. I don't know how they wound up in my closet either. So when you're uprooting and you're taking things and pulling them out, it doesn't have to be a negative thing. Anybody ever plant potatoes or carrots or onions? You have to uproot those to eat them, right? Wash them first because they get a little gritty if you don't. Dirt will do that to you. But when you, good things can come from uprooting and pulling them out. But it also can be a time to move on. And if you have something you should be doing that you have been praying about, that you are looking at, and God has been on your heart to do that, now's the time to uproot. It can be a positive. These are not all negatives. So, I told you, Ecclesiastes had this tone throughout it of life is meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. So, here's the question. As you ask yourself going into 2018 or looking back at 2017, what's the point? Why are we going through this? And see, by recognizing there's a proper time for everything, it allows us to accept life as it comes. It is a gift from God. He has made everything beautiful in its time. See, we're given this opportunity to live out God's plan for our life because God's working in every circumstance that we're involved in, positive, negative, unknown. Because we're here on this earth. And God is calling us to know what time it is. And when, as we learn what time it is, our response is reflected in that. So here's what I ask you to do in 2018. Be wise. Be ethical. Discern what action you're supposed to take at a given time. And then take action and be decisive. Rejoice in God's gifts and use it to His glory. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. That's from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 12 and 13. Take life day by day from the hand of God. Embrace it. Love it. And as we enter 2018, may it be the best year of your life. Amen.
So I'm put up here to misspeak the prayer now. Dear Lord, as we look to the dawn of the new year, let us look within ourselves and reflect on this year in action, so that we may become more like your Son. Help us stay on the path of the giving, the loving, and the caring. Help us to find ourselves in the Holy Spirit, to do your deeds, and call upon it to lead us to do your work and share your love. We left the things to you, O Lord, that we have trouble. Now let us put unto you the things that we have trouble putting into words. Now hear the words that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.